Turn to the book of Philippians in chapter number 2. Philippians in chapter number 2 this morning. Philippians in chapter number 2. We're going to read just one verse for our text verse this morning. Then we'll look at some other passages of Scripture as the Lord leads. But in Philippians chapter number 2, very familiar verse, and in verse number 8, Philippians 2 and verse number 8, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ here, and it says in verse number 8, "And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." We're going to look at this morning, with the Lord's help, even the death of the cross. The cross was a terrible death, a death so low, so cruel, so shameful, and how ironic that the Prince of Life had to die upon the cross. It's one thing that the Lord Jesus Christ had to die, and what's being emphasized here in this verse is He did not just die, but He died upon the cross. We cannot today comprehend the cross as men did in those days. Today, the cross has become almost a symbol of honor. And I believe there's nothing wrong with that, and we'll look at that this morning. But in those days, the cross was a symbol of horror. It was a symbol of shame. Today, we have it, many churches have steeples and have it at the top of their steeples. We have one on the very front of our church. Women wear them around, maybe as jewelry on their neck. Women do that. Men don't wear necklaces. Amen. All right. Yeah. All right. The reason they're called necklaces. All right. Amen. All right. Well. All right. We'll save that for another time. Women wear those. If you're like your children, maybe like mine, I'm sure they are. One of the first pictures that they've ever drawn and brought to you is a picture of a hill. With three crosses on it. But in those days, the cross was not something to glory in. In those days, it was quite the opposite. It was, in those days, hideous, dark, shameful, worse than a guillotine, worse than any type of form of capital punishment we can think of. The cross was despised by the world. Yet the apostles went about preaching that Christ died on the cross. They found glory in that, which is why the Bible says the Jews, it was a stumbling block to them. They couldn't understand this. To the Gentiles, to the heathen, it was absolute foolishness to find glory in the cross. But Paul said it best, "To us it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth." We praise God for the cross. To us, it is a picture of joy and triumph. You read about the death of Christ in the Word of God. You know, I just recently got done reading the memoirs of Ulysses S. Grant. And I love history and I love reading that. And I found it very interesting, just some of the things that went on in his life that prepared him for being president one day and leadership and all the men he served under. And it was fascinating to read about the Mexican War and the Civil War and all those things. And about 800 pages was this memoirs. But his death, out of 800 pages, was covered in the last 10. Didn't say a whole lot, just kind of wrapped it up. He died. You read the memoirs of pretty much any great man that you want to, or biography. When it comes to the death, it's how the book will end, usually. And not much is said there. Yet with Christ, when the men wrote and through the Holy Spirit the Gospels of Jesus Christ, they slowed down and spent much time upon the last 24 hours of Christ's life. The book of Matthew and the book of Mark, one third of the entire books are about the last 24 hours of Jesus Christ. The book of Luke, one fourth of the entire book is about the last 24 hours of Jesus Christ. before he died upon the cross. Now we know, understand what I mean by that. Last 24 hours, I don't mean it was over. He arose. Amen? But the book of John, the last, is half the book of the book of John is used to cover the last 24 hours of Jesus Christ on this earth. And there's many people today, many churches today that go around and they say, well, you know what, you shouldn't spend so much time talking about the blood or talking about the cross. You ought to look at the life of Christ and all the good things He did. And we do rejoice in all the great things that Christ did. But you know what? It's not a mistake to spend a lot of time talking about the cross. If it's a mistake, it's the same mistake that Matthew and Mark and Luke and John made. And I'd rather line up with men like them than the world's men. There's nothing wrong with speaking about the cross. Matter of fact, we need to preach on the cross. And this morning we're going to look at the cross of Jesus Christ. Would you bow your heads, please? Father, I pray, Lord, you'd use this message in a great way. I pray you'd use it for your honor and glory. Give us receptive hearts this morning. Father, may we not get so used to hearing about the cross that we grow insensitive towards it. Conscience is seared. Father, I pray that we'd have fresh ears this morning. Father, if there'd be one here that's lost, I pray you'd speak to their heart. They'd be receptive. Today, they'd find the glory in the cross. Father, I pray, Lord, you'd speak to us that are saved. May we realize what the cross is to us in our life. Father, give us what you want for us this morning. We love you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 8, it says, even the death of the cross. I just want to mention four things that the cross is to us this morning. Four things that the cross is to us. Number one, the cross is our condemnation. The cross is our condemnation. So why would you mean the cross is our condemnation? Because the cross proclaims our need of deliverance. In John chapter 3 and verse number 18, it says, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. We spent the last few Sunday mornings speaking about condemnation. The fact that if you're lost and you've never been saved, you are born with a sinful nature. You are living today under condemnation. You are condemned to die. You're already dead spiritually. You will die physically, and there is an eternal death, a second death, to come, which is the lake of fire. And we've talked about these things, but if you're saved, praise God, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. And we can rejoice in that. But the cross is a symbol for every one of us that we were condemned. It is our condemnation. So what do you mean by that? Well, I guess you'd have to answer this question. Why did Christ die on the cross? When we answer that question correctly, everything else will fall into place. Why did Christ die on the cross? You say, well, because the world was lost. That's a good answer, but that's not the best answer. Why did Christ die upon the cross? Christ died upon the cross for your sin, for my sin, for our sin. You see, we make this personal. We need to. Christ died for our sin. He was our substitute. Look over in the book Isaiah, please, in the Old Testament. In Isaiah in chapter number 53, real quick with me this morning. In Isaiah chapter 53, another familiar passage of Scripture. He took our place. What I mean by that is this. We are the ones who deserve that penalty. We are the ones who deserve death. We are the ones. You say, how can you say that? Because we are sinners. There's none righteous, no, not one. Every one of us are born with a sinful nature. Every one of us are sinners at best. And here in the book of Isaiah, in chapter number 53, and verse number 3, he, speaking of Jesus, is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. If you're like me, you underline all those personal pronouns there. It's our griefs, it's our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. And with His stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to His own way. And the Lord hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all. Christ Jesus died for our sins. When we see the cross, we ought to see a condemnation. Whose condemnation? Our condemnation. It was our sins. The just, Jesus Christ, died for the unjust, you and I. Christ died for our sins. Upon Him was laid the iniquity of us all. When we see the cross, it ought to remind us that every one of us are sinners and are in need of salvation. There's not one person ever been born on this earth, apart from the Lord Jesus Christ, that did not need to be saved. We all need salvation. We are all sinners. And by the way, when Christ died, He died for the sins of the whole world. The iniquity of all was laid upon Him. He did not just die for a few. He died for all. All our iniquities were placed upon Him. When Christ Jesus died, He died for the sins of the whole world. In 2 Corinthians, now picturing this and understand what I'm trying to get at, you don't have to turn there, but in 2 Corinthians chapter 15 and in verse number 14 says this, "We thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead." If one died for all, then we're all dead. What that means is that one died for all. Who is that one? Who is it?
Christ.
Christ, the one, died for all. But what that says is that we're all dead. What that means is that we're all sinners. What that means is none of us in this room can get to heaven on our own merit. None of us in this room can be good enough to earn our way to heaven. Christ died for the sins of all. And that means that all of us need to accept Christ as our Savior. There are none righteous. We are all condemned. And understand what I'm trying to get at is this is where the cross comes in for our salvation. It shows us, first of all, that we are sinners. And that there is a penalty for our sins. I know this isn't popular preaching much in the world today. But you cannot be saved without repentance. There must be repentance. Repentance must be there. It is a recognition that Christ died for my sin. That I am a sinner. You see, you can't just go tell someone, I can't walk up to Jake and we'll pretend for a second that he's lost. I can't just walk up to Jake and say, Jake, you know, introduce myself and he introduced himself to me. I said, do you want to go to heaven? Yes. Well, then all you have to do is tell Christ you believe in Him. Jake needs to see something. That Christ had to die because of his sin. We must see ourselves as a sinner. And the cross speaks to us this morning. The cross tells us that we are a sinner. The cross, yes, is forgiveness. Yes, the cross is deliverance. But before we can experience the deliverance and the forgiveness of God, we must first embrace the condemnation of the cross that we are sinners. That's why Peter on a boat knelt down before Christ and said this, I am a sinful man, O Lord. That's why John could say these words, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. That's why Paul could say this, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. That's why that other criminal upon the cross who believed in Jesus Christ that day said this, we receive the due rewards of our deeds. We must recognize that we are sinners. You know, no one wants to preach on sin anymore today. Many just want to focus upon the love of God, and I am thankful for the love of God. We all ought to be thankful for the love of God. We ought to find great comfort in the love of God. I sent to my Sunday school class an email this week, and our devotion email I sent out, and I focused on that, how in John chapter number 15, Jesus said, as the Father hath loved me, and stop and think about that. How much does the Father love the Son? We can't comprehend that. It's an eternal love. It's a love that will never end. It's a love that is always there. A love that a pure love, a holy love, a righteous love. What great love the Father has for the Son. But Jesus said this, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. What love the Lord has for us. What love God showed for us in sending His Son to the cross. And while the world doesn't want to, they want to focus on this. They never want to talk about sin. They never say, well, we'll offend somebody. We'll make someone upset. We should never mention sin. No, we've got to mention sin because it was for our sin that Jesus died. You can't be saved until you realize what you're being saved from. That I'm a sinner. Now, we have a lot of knowledge today. We know a whole lot more than we did the day we got saved. But if you're saved this morning, you knew this, that your sin had separated you and God. You knew this, if you're saved this morning, you deserve to go to hell. And repentance was stirred in your heart. And you knew that Christ died for your sins. My friends, this morning, when we look at the cross, we see our condemnation. We see the fact that that was our penalty. Christ, who knew no sin, became sin for us. But not only is the cross our condemnation, but secondly, it may sound like a paradox, but the cross is our reconciliation. The cross not only condemns us, but the cross saves us. Isn't that amazing? The same cross that condemns us is the same cross that saves us. The worst thing that man ever did in crucifying the Lord Jesus Christ was the greatest thing that ever happened to man. You ever thought about that? The worst thing that man ever did is the greatest thing that ever happened to man. That sentence of death brought the promise of eternal life. The cross is our reconciliation. Look over keep a finger here. We'll come right back to Isaiah. But look over in Colossians real quick in chapter number 1. Read this verse with me in Colossians chapter number 1 this morning. Colossians 1 and in verse number 19. Colossians 1 and in verse number 19. The cross is our reconciliation. It says here in Colossians 1 verse 19, for it pleased the Father. That right there, and we can go back and look at it in Isaiah again, it's saying the same thing. That's hard to comprehend. When Christ died upon the cross, it pleased the Father. We know He loves His Son, but what love God has for us. But it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself. By Him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled. If you're reconciled today, you've been reconciled to God, you ought to be able to say amen there. We at one time, we were born this way. We were born in our sin. But Christ, through the blood of Jesus, through His own blood, we have been reconciled to God. You know, when something is reconciled, it presupposes a separation. You know, there are some people in this auditorium that maybe you've never met. Maybe you do not know each other whatsoever. You don't know them, you know, in any point. You know, Brother Bobby's sitting over here. All right, it's good to have them this morning. Brother Bobby's sitting there. Now, Brother Brian, over there, to my knowledge, you've never met Brother Bobby, because you don't even know who I'm talking about. All right? Brother Bobby's over here. Brother Brian's over there. They've never met each other. You know what? There is no need of reconciliation between these two. They're complete strangers. I can't reconcile them. They've never been separated. They might for the day's over. I hope not. But there's no problem there. So reconciliation presupposes that there was a previous relationship. Back in Isaiah in chapter number 59, turn a few pages over, what was it that has separated us and God? In Isaiah chapter 59 and in verse number 2, it says this, "But your iniquities have separated between you and your God. And your sins have hid His face from you that He will not hear." Adam had a perfect relationship with God. He walked with God in the garden. It was sin that separated man from God. That curse of sin, that dread of sin was passed upon every one of us. Because of our sin, we have been alienated from God. Because of our sin, we cannot have eternal life. Our sin separated us and God. And turn over a few more pages to Isaiah chapter number 64. Isaiah chapter 64 and in verse number 4. Thank you for turning there. Love hearing the Word of God, pages being turned. Because it really doesn't matter what I say this morning. What matters is what God's Word says this morning. And I want you to see this in Isaiah chapter 64 and verse number 4. "For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen, O God, beside Thee what He hath prepared for him that waited for Him. Thou meetest him that rejoiceth and worketh righteousness, those that remember Thee in Thy ways. Behold, Thou art wroth, for we have sinned, those in continuance, and we shall be saved. But you are all as an unclean thing, and all our unrighteousness are as filthy rags. And we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. And there is none that calleth upon Thy name, that stirreth up himself to take hold of Thee. For Thou hast hid Thy face from us, and hast consumed us because of our iniquities. But now, O Lord, Thou art our Father. We are the clay, and Thou art potter. And we all are the work of Thy hand." Isaiah refers to this, that we have been separated because of our sin. But there was, there in verse number 4, God prepared something. God prepared something that our eyes haven't seen, our ears haven't heard. And many times people will use this, I think, an application, but really out of context. They'll use this verse, and the one we'll turn to if you want to turn there in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. They'll use these verses sort of out of context in speaking about, you know, heaven and how wonderful heaven is. And our eyes haven't seen it and our ears haven't heard enough about it. And we can't really comprehend how great heaven is. And I'll agree with that statement. We can't comprehend how great heaven is. Heaven is a wonderful place. Heaven is a place of God's glory and God's presence. And no more sickness, no more pain. And we can talk about that all day. And what a wonderful thought, the thought of heaven. That is a wonderful thought. But that's not in context what's being spoken here. As you can see in 1 Corinthians chapter number 1 Corinthians chapter 2, I say 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and in verse number 7. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse number 7. "But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God." What is Paul? He refers back to that passage in Isaiah. And what he says to us this morning is this: our eyes and our ears, they haven't heard, and these things. It's not talking about heaven. What it's talking about is this: about the Lord dying upon the cross. Before the world was even ordained, in an amazing thought, before the world ever began, Christ had a plan. God had a plan that His Son would die upon the cross. And this was a mystery, and had they known this, they would have never crucified the Lord. Had they known this, who He was and what He was, but they did not. They crucified the Lord. The cross this morning, that was God's plan of reconciliation. If it were not for the cross, we could not have a relationship with God today. But we ought to be thankful for the cross. When Christ Jesus died upon a cross, He took all of our sin upon Himself, and He died the just for the unjust. He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. We are saved today. If you are saved today, it's because Jesus Christ took your place and died upon the cross for you today. You ought to be thankful for that. We have been reconciled through the blood of the cross. So the cross is our condemnation, it's our reconciliation, and then thirdly, the cross is our separation. See, what do you mean it's our separation? Our sin, I'll speak it slowly because I always say it wrong when I don't. Our sin separated us from God. Now the cross should separate us from sin. If you're saved, what the cross ought to mean to you this morning is that my sin is covered, my sin is forgiven. But go back to the first point. My sin is the reason Christ died upon the cross. Sin has been called the great separator. Well, if that's true, then the cross is the greater separator. If you're saved this morning, what the cross ought to mean to us is this: it is our best defense against sin. You see, we all are consumed and have temptations in our life. Every one of us are going to face temptations this week. Every one of us are going to be tempted to sin in some way. There's going to be something that's set in front of us. I don't care how old you are. I don't care how young you are. We are going to face temptation. Well, our flesh is going to be, we're going to be in battle against it. And we're going to face these things this week. But the mind that is stayed upon the cross, the mind that thinks about and keeps on it fresh that Christ had to die because of my sin, will be a life that is kept from sin. It'd be awful hard to sin meditating on why Christ died. It'd be awful hard to sin. It'd be awful hard, temptation, maybe something, you're out there in the world today and some temptation comes your way. Maybe you're at work and some underhanded deal has come your way, or an opportunity for you to lie in advance in that, or whatever it may be, something on a computer screen, a television, whatever it may be, and some sin and temptation you're confronted with this week. You can't have victory because of the cross of Jesus Christ. You can't have victory. We are, 1 John says, an overcomer of sin. Greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. We have no reason to fall to sin. We have been freed from sin, we looked at last week in Romans. And when those temptations come, I give you the key to victory. You need to battle it with this thought: Christ had to die because of my sin. And that's what Romans chapter 6 was talking about last week. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? And the answer to that is simply what? God forbid. We don't go on in sin because, you know, well, we get to go to heaven so we can go on in sin. No! If you're thinking about why Christ had to die, you can't go on in sin. You and I have sinned since we've been saved. We've sinned. Our flesh has gotten the better of us. We've given in to temptations. Sadly, we don't want to raise our hand and testify that, and I don't want us to. But we know it's true, every one of us. You know why? Because we forgot why Christ had to die. It'd be awful hard to be thinking about the cross and why He had to die. It'd be awful hard to be thinking about the Father having to turn His back on His only Son because that Son, our sins were cast upon Him. It'd be awful hard this week to give in to temptation and sin, keeping that on your mind. It'd do us good every time we stop, and I hope you still are, church, 7 times a day to praise the Lord. I hope you're still doing that. But also remind yourself 7 times a day, Christ died for my sin. It'll keep us right. It'll give us power over temptation. The cross is our condemnation. The cross is our reconciliation, the cross is our separation, and the cross is finally our celebration. we can rejoice in the cross. You know, I've heard some, and they can say what they want, you know, that how hideous the cross was and how a Christian shouldn't, you know, have a cross or this. I don't believe in idol worship, and I think, you know, Catholics are wrong in their idol worship and such, and I surely wouldn't have a picture of a cross hanging up, or an idol of a cross with Christ on the cross. You know, Christ is not on the cross. He died and He rose. But I have no problem glorying in the cross of Christ. I am thankful this morning for the cross of Christ. I am thankful this morning for what was accomplished upon that cross. All those around the cross, when Christ said these words, "It is finished," they proudly took glory in themselves. Because they thought, "Ah, look, He's done." Christ wasn't done that day. The only thing that was finished was our victory and our salvation. We praise the Lord this morning for the cross. Our victory is in the cross. Your victory is in the cross. Your salvation is because of the cross of Christ. We can rejoice because of the cross. We can sing because of the cross. We ought to be thankful for the cross this morning. Christ Jesus came to this world. He humbled Himself. He came obedient unto death. Not just a death, but the death of the cross. If you're lost this morning, what the cross should be speaking to you about this morning is this: He died for your sins. Just like He died for my sins. The day that I, Travis Burke, got saved, I realized why Christ died. And I realized that it was because of His death I could go to heaven. I saw myself as a sinner, and I saw Christ as a Savior. I put my faith and trust in what Christ had done for me that day. If you're lost today, if you're not sure you're saved, I want you to look at the cross. It's a hideous thing to look at. I did not describe it this morning. The Word of God describes it. Men turned their face. People wagged their heads. The prophet said you could not even tell that was the visage of a man no longer upon that cross. He was wounded, beaten, spat upon, mocked, cursed, crucified, scourged. His body was torn apart. And you answer this question right. Why did Christ go through those things? It was for our sins. For our salvation. And now as a Christian, it's for our victory. Day by day, we can have victory through Christ. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes this morning, please, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed? The cross of Christ, I want to